Luke 24 then in verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now, that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus himself." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were immediately opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened to them on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Pray that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. In Luke, we can apply what we read in Luke to take two main groups of people. There's those who do not believe, and there's those who do believe in Jesus. To those who do not believe in Jesus, to put your faith in Jesus is to build on the witness of history. To put your faith in Jesus is to know the forgiveness of God. To put your faith in Jesus is to be able to start life again. To put your faith in Jesus is to be involved in the kingdom of God. To put your faith in Jesus does not demand prior goodness or respectability. But to put your faith in Jesus does demand humility and a willingness to give up everything for Jesus. To put your faith in Jesus pays great rewards in the future. To those who believe in Jesus, your faith in Jesus means that you should be joyful and thankful in life. To put your faith in Jesus means you should imitate Jesus' love for all men. Your faith in Jesus means you should get involved in spreading the good news of the kingdom. Your faith in Jesus means you should pray as Jesus taught. That goes back to Thursday house group, doesn't it? We had quite a discussion at Alan and Iris's. It was really good. Your faith in Jesus means you should make God's kingdom your clear priority. And your faith in Jesus means you should trust in that God is in control of the world. It's not easy, is it? It's not easy. There's a story, and I know I've told it here before, about a teenage girl who was terminally ill. And she had a visitor, and the visitor came in, and obviously the visitor could see a sort of a peace and a happiness on that girl's face. And you can't you? I mean, I know me, I'm terrible. I sit there looking as glum as anything. I don't mean to, it's just the way I am, I suppose. But it's not a good witness, is it? Anyway, this teenage girl was terminally ill. Now, if anybody should have been lying in bed glum, it should have been her. But when the visitor came, he could see a peace and a happiness on her face. And he said to her, "Are you happy?" Because she certainly looked happy. He said, "Are you happy?" And raising her hand, she pointed to the bedside cabinet and said, "Yeah. See my Bible." She pointed to the Bible. She said, "I'm happy because I have Christ in there." And then she pointed to her heart. She said, "I'm happy because I have Christ in here." And then she pointed upwards. And she said, "I'm happy because I have Christ up there." What a source of happiness. Christ in the Word, Christ in the heart, and Christ in the glory. Is it yours? Is it yours? I'm sure as we have thought about Easter, and I know in church, every Sunday we think of the cross, don't we? And we think of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. But I don't know why, but for some reason, because it is Easter, it seems to, well, for me anyway, it seems to take another level it seems to be even more special and more amazing than what it already is. And I think in this world in which we live, nothing has fascinated man more, and women, is what happens after death. Is there life after death? And really, the only way that that question can be answered is to read the New Testament, isn't it? And the record of events that happen to the Lord Jesus Christ in his crucifixion. But of course, it's only any good if you believe it. It's only any good if you believe it. And I must admit, I do like this chapter in Luke. I mean, I know last year I did, when I was on the platform, I did about Mary Magdalene, because we were going through Luke, weren't we? And that just fascinates me. That just fascinates me. I mean, you can just imagine the disciples and all the other friends of Jesus. Some of them had witnessed the crucifixion there. And you know, we don't really know what it was like, do we? I know sometimes you can see these films on television where they try and portray what really happened, and it's frightening, isn't it? It's really nasty when you see or imagine what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't blame the followers of Jesus for not actually being there and witnessing his crucifixion. I mean, would you like to go and watch one of your friends, a best friend, someone who you don't want to be parted from? And yet some of them, I mean, Mary Magdalene did, and Mary, I mean, amazing, amazing how much they loved him. And although the Lord Jesus had told them that he was going to die like that, and that on the third day he was going to rise again, it just didn't sink in, did it? Or they didn't really believe it. And yet, the Marys, those women, they went, didn't they, on that Sunday morning to embalm the Lord Jesus. And yet they get to the tomb and the stone is rolled away and he's not there. And the angels tell them that he is risen. He is risen. And they go and tell the others. And I don't think they really believed. The ladies, the women folk, they thought they were mad, they were losing the plot. And yet Peter and John, they went, didn't they? And they saw the same thing, that the Lord Jesus was gone. And I love that bit in the garden when it had all gone quiet again and Mary Magdalene was there alone. And the Lord Jesus comes up and she thought it was the gardener and she asked him, what have you done with the body of Jesus? She didn't recognize him. She didn't recognize him. And yet, when he said Mary, she did. She did. It's funny, that one word, it must have meant so much to Mary. It even makes my eyes water just saying it. Just imagining it. How wonderful that must have been for Mary. And then I love that story about the two on the road to Emmaus. I must admit, I do find it hard that they were walking with Jesus and yet they didn't recognize him. But that happens to us, doesn't it, sometimes? Someone came up in, well, it was Martin, I think. I popped in to see him Wednesday night and he said to me, I drove by you the other day, I waved. And I was driving, but I saw Maureen in her car, but I didn't see Martin in his van. Yeah, it's big enough, isn't it? See, sometimes we see people, but we don't actually see them. And yet here, these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord Jesus comes up to them, and he asks them, you know, why are they looking so sad? Why are they looking so glum? And they can't believe that this man doesn't know what's gone on over the last few days. And yet all of a sudden, what's the Lord Jesus doing? He's preaching the scriptures to them. far better than I could ever do this morning. It must have been wonderful. It must have been wonderful. In fact, it was so wonderful that when they got to their village and it seemed like the Lord Jesus was going to carry on, they invited him to come in and share with them. And they sat down and he gave thanks for the bread. I remember a film that Gordon had, and it was only a cartoon one. And I know this is producer's license, but I like to think it may have happened. And I've probably told you this before. But it shows the two coming into the home and the Lord Jesus with them. And there's the wife and a little girl. And you know what children are like when they're tiny? You stay around here. I use Martha as a name. That's a good name, isn't it? Martha. Grandma. I can imagine the little girl behind the curtain looking out. And in this film, and I know it's not in the Bible, and I know it's the producer's license, but this little girl, before the Lord Jesus had ever said thanks for the food, she'd look round and her eyes lit up. She knew who it was. Now, whether that happened or not, I don't know, but children do have this knack, don't they, of knowing things and understanding things, sometimes simple things, before us grown-ups do. And oh, how wonderful. I can just imagine the Lord Jesus and those two men sitting there, and he gives thanks for the bread, just like we're going to later on, or in a minute. And as he gave thanks, they realised who it was. They realised who it was, and he disappeared. What was it, 7 miles from Jerusalem? They went back. They were so excited, the old adrenaline kicked in, and they went back. They didn't want to sleep on it. Crumbs, you couldn't go to sleep after seeing the Lord Jesus, after all the events that had happened over the last few days. They went back to tell the disciples and the others who were there. Oh, what rejoicing there must have been. And then the Lord Jesus Christ himself came among them. They still found it hard to believe, didn't they? They still found it hard to believe. And people do today, don't they? They just find it so hard to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died but rose again. It would be pointless being here, wouldn't it? And worshipping someone who's dead. So what does it do? It's new life, isn't it? And before I come to an end, I just want to talk a little bit about a new life. This is a really special time of year, isn't it, for us in this country, because it's springtime. And we've got an egg there. And as I mentioned earlier, the little chicks, it's new life, isn't it? It's amazing that from that egg comes a little chick, which later on turns into a hen or a cockerel. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And then I'm sure your gardens are starting to bloom. How come from that bulb, beautiful flowers and daffodils start to come up? You know, as you look around, as you come here this morning, you must have gone past trees that are beginning to bloom. And I mean, I know last weekend I've got a little acer bush. Well, I've got a few acer bushes, but it was just like all dead wood last weekend. Now it's got all leaves on it. Isn't that amazing? How quick. It just, you know, one day you say, hang on, where do they all come from? It's new life, isn't it? It's new life. There's a chrysalis. Now, I don't know if Marion remembers this, but maybe Alistair and Martin do. I remember my dad used to, he was involved with the Bible class and that years ago here. And we didn't have DVDs and movies, all this sort of stuff then. But he had a film strip. And one of the film strips he had, and it was a Christian, it was called The Birth of the Butterfly. And I got some sort of vague recollection of it, and how amazing that was. And you know, when you look at God's creation, how can you not believe? And those two are meant to go together, in case you're wondering. How can you not believe it? Out of that comes that. It's just amazing. It's new life. New life. And then we come to Jesus. What happened? He died on the cross. He died for me. He died for you. He died for the world. And he was buried. He was buried. But then we find that the stone was rolled away and he is risen. He is risen. You know, if you haven't done already, you know, we can have new life in Christ, can't we? He went through all this for us. All we've got to do is have a simple faith and trust in him. Ask him to come into our hearts and into our lives. And if we're Christians already, isn't it good to just renew that faith and trust in the Lord Jesus? It's so easy in this world in which we live to start to wander, isn't it? It's easy to get sidetracked. Let's remember this Easter time as we celebrate the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep our hearts and minds focused.